Lunchtime.
Is it? Is it indeed? Because I have yet to eat lunch.
Yeah, I haven't eaten.
This is factually incorrect.
Either. I've ordered lunch.
Well, you're a step ahead of me, my friend.
I completed my first month of burrito... Burrito Palooza? Sure, I'll call it that.
So, yeah,
Chiptopia?
We haven't talked about this. Chipotle has a new... Chipotle. Is it Chipotle or Chipotle?
Chipotle.
Chipotle has a new customer loyalty reward card.
Yeah. Yeah.
I unlocked the first tier yesterday. I got my free burrito. So apparently I've had five this month.
I unlocked the final tier last
Wednesday? What are the tiers? What are the tiers?
I don't know. I got to hot tier.
What was the... So you get a free burrito first tier.
First year?
First tier.
Right.
So you have four burritos, you get one free, which is a pretty slamming deal. So
there's mild, medium, and hot.
Okay.
It's like their salsas. You buy four, you get one free. It's not bad.
Yep.
Then you buy three more, you get one free. Then you buy two more. Yeah.
Oh, I'm within range. I can get one today and then take Cecily out to lunch tomorrow.
Because your free one counts. So, like, it counts as buying an entree.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going all out on this rewards thing. I met the final tier Wednesday or something because I was out of town for a week. So
yeah, that's right. It slowed you down.
It did.
Being out of town.
It really did. Otherwise, day 12, boom.
Even with 1 week tied behind your back, you still max out the reward program.
Yeah, I will definitely get it over the next 2 months. And the grand prize is a 20-person catered thing.
So is that if you get the level 3 on all of the
every month?
Every month. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm well on my way.
So what's the tier 3? Just another free burrito?
Yeah, they're all free.
So if you gold tier it all 3 months, you get 9 free burritos and a 20-person catered meal. That's a lot of free food. Holy shit!
I want to say you also get a free burrito for each month that you get to any tier.
So
I might actually get 12 free burritos. Yeah.
Wow. That's half a month's worth of eating right there.
Right. Right. It's a good deal for me.
Damn,
going
man.
Going in every month or every day.
Damn, man.
Yeah. I get a hat at some point.
You get a hat
Point? Okay. So mild status for 3 months, I get one more free entree. Medium status for 3 months, I get $20 in merchandise. Or hot status for 3 months, I get the catering thing. I don't know if I get all three of those, if they stack, or if I just get the catering.
So what do you plan on doing with the catering?
Man, I want a Chipotle hat. Can you imagine the advertising they would get on Bald Move streams?
For free.
They don't know what they're
missing. You should pay me half of our fictitious advertising rate if you'd start doing that shit.
I give you half of the catering stuff.
What are you going to do with the catering?
So I'm thinking about trying to put on a Bald Move event.
A local?
I think that'd be cool, yeah.
And
just a catered event
Chipotle.
You might have to pay for the catered thing. I don't know, because I want more than 20 people to be able to go.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, like, if we could somehow tier it to where 20 people get the catered stuff, and then everybody else can just show up and have fun. So, I mean, the only way I can think to tier it is to say, hey, $5 for a burrito.
You're going to be, like, surrounding the catering?
Oh, well, they're going to be in my pockets. I will have to hand out the burritos, of course.
Just slap it in sour cream, go shooting out.
Yeah.
Chipotle is known for food poisoning people. That's, like, right in their theme.
And if they can get mobile poisoning going, then why not?
It's the latest killer app.
Yeah, we've got... Speaking of killer apps, we got Twitter going, #BaldLunch.
Yeah, so we also have the Q&A app going.
Sign up for that.
Thanks, everybody, for making last week's solo lunch a real, real easy thing to do.
I haven't checked that out yet.
Kept me primed with questions the whole time. I did. In fact, I went long even. Jesus.
Wow.
Long Jesus. Take long,
like,
Jesus
long
or short
pig,
Jesus.
Except...
3 days out of seven.
It's like long pig, except...
Jesus,
it's never ending. Like, he just
the fishes
turns
and loaves,
into the
man.
Fishes and
just,
loaves.
Like he's
if you try to cannibalize
just
Jesus,
keeps carving bacon right off himself.
Right,
that's a savior I can get behind. Kill me with nitrates and salt intake. All right, do you have some? Because I've got a couple topics we could talk about.
Well, I went on vacation last week.
There's a topic. Do you want to talk about that?
Sure. I went to Colorado Springs, Colorado. Surprise, surprise, Colorado Springs is in Colorado.
Do they just call it the Springs?
I don't know what the locals call it. We had very little interaction with the locals. We tried to... We did a lot of hiking. So it was like... we did go to a couple... Nikki just cracked me up with a burrito pun. So yeah, we, you know, we did a lot of hiking. We did go to a couple restaurants. We played some Pokemon Go. We went to a cave. That was cool.
Yeah, I had cave no idea that they had like limestone style caves up in the mountains.
Yeah, the same kind of caves you get around here. Surprising. I would have thought they would be more harder rock.
Yeah.
Say that.
Like, if the Rockies were just made out of sandstone, like, you'd think they'd just be a puddle of sand in the middle of the country at this point.
I guess not, but we went, yeah, we went in there. That was cool. We did a lantern tour of the place, which is old a little school. More strenuous than the discovery tour that they, they had. I'm annoyed because the pictures they gave us, we got the thumb drive of, like, pictures of the cave and a picture of us, and they say discovery tour on them. I'm like, you motherfuckers, we didn't take the discovery tour.
I was on
the lantern tour.
Look at me holding the lantern.
I'm a badass. I had to stand behind fat people and crouch for 20 minutes in a in a cave passage that's barely taller than my waistline.
Holy shit,
that was annoying. So there, if I were running the caves, and I should be running the caves because I know how to do it right, I would not let people who are out of shape. I would line people up most out of shape or most in shape to most out of shape.
Right.
For those long passages, because the people in front, holy shit, did they slow us down.
Really?
And that meant that instead of barreling through that 100-foot-long passage...
So here's the thing. I'm way fatter than you, but I suspect I'm in better shape. Like, I think I could run... I think right now I could run farther, bike farther, swim farther than you.
Yeah. Cardio-wise,
so, like, I feel like that to really do that, you'd have to strap a mask on a bike and pedal for, like, 60 seconds. That's the only fair way to do it, because I'll be damned if someone puts me behind you.
Here's how you
know, man.
Here's how you do it. You have the entrance to the cave be something strenuous, but something that you can all do kind of together. So it's like a big uphill
climb. Oh, it's like a pyramid-shaped thing where, like, the cream rises to the top.
Exactly.
And the people that have to take
So you sift them naturally.
Gotcha.
And then you stay in that fucking formation. Because what would happen is, like, we would go into a little chamber, and, you know, as the first one in will be the first, the last one out. So we would get stuck behind all these people who were way too out of shape to be doing this tour. And I ended up, like, my legs were burning by the end of it. Because, A, you know, it's a hard thing to do just crouching for a solid 10 minutes.
Yeah.
The other thing is it's 6,000, 7,000 feet up in the air. So you're already huffing and puffing just naturally if you're from sea level. So, yeah, it was pretty brutal, but it was real cool.
Yeah, there's this three-quarter mile stretch of tunnel in Blue Caverns in the wild part of that where it's called Backbreaker Alley.
Yeah.
Because it's just tall enough that you feel stupid crawling through it.
Right.
But if you do the Groucho Marx walk for three-quarters of a mile, you will destroy your back and hamstrings and everything else.
And I had slept wrong on my neck.
I can't even imagine
before.
Doing that at 7,000 feet.
Right.
Jeez.
Wow. Yeah, I don't think it was quite... three quarters of a mile.
Right.
It was probably a quarter mile. But,
right. But still, at 7,000 feet, I'd...
Right. It felt... Know. It was brutal. And I had slept on my neck wrong the night before, so, like, my neck was already hurting. So, like, bending down and over in this cave passage was real brutal.
The decrepitude has already begun.
And, you know, they do the... Well, of course, I'm 34, so I'm halfway to Shitstown. and they do the thing where they blow out all the lights. So the lantern tour is literally like you're carrying lanterns. Everybody has a bucket with the little flame in it. And, you know, the caves, the Cave of the Winds, surprise, surprise, is windy. And so the idea is don't let your lantern blow out. And you're kind of you're kind of experiencing the way that people would have experienced it when they were exploring in the first place.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty neat. And then they do the thing where they say, okay, now everybody blow out your candles.
Yeah, experience pitch black.
Right, which I've done 100 times before. Every cave you go into.
How do they reignite that. The candles at that point?
The dude has a lighter.
Oh, okay.
So he just...
Cool.
And
yeah, that's a mainstay of all cave things, the total darkness.
As soon as he started lighting stuff up, I said, my pants are gone! Because he was talking about, like, all... Yeah, I did. real loud. Everybody cracked up. Because he was talking about, like, all the ghosts in the passages and, like, the hauntings. Oh, my God, my pants are gone.
There's a Randy pants-stealing ghost?
Yeah.
In the Cave of Winds?
So we were in the area called Lover's Lane or whatever, where, like, the two people, the guy who explored the cave, who discovered the cave, and his wife would go all the time.
Right.
You know, there's all folklore and legend, and I don't believe a goddamn word of the ghost stuff.
Sure.
But, you know, so we're in Lover's Lane, and presumably maybe one of the lovers wants my pants.
Sure, they never got to finish.
Right.
Sort of cave in, got them.
Yeah, and yeah. You know, it's a slapstick thing for the kids, and the parents get the better end of it.
It's funny, because I've been to like 30 caves now between Indiana and Kentucky, and they're about 50-50, the ones that like our staff are serious spelunkers and whatnot, and the others that are just like fucking hillbilly rubes that'll spin any ghost story and...
Right.
You know.
He seemed somewhere in the
William
middle.
William Boone was entombed here, and some still say you can hear his bones are rattling. Yeah. Like, come on.
They do that, but I feel like that's more just, you know, Cave of the Winds tells them to do
that.
Sure,
yeah.
But one thing he does that the other guides didn't do, which was really cool, they have this area where...
He bit the head off a bat. Just he plucked one, a fresh wall-caught bat.
I mean, you don't want a stale bat.
No.
You don't want one that's been sitting around for a while.
They call it the Aussie.
We were in an area that he called Opera Hall because, like, the guy apparently would have... He thought it'd be cool to have his friends come in and play in a band, like, because of the acoustics down there.
Oh, I bet they're amazing.
They're super amazing because at that point in that room, he bust out his little ukulele and he started playing a song and singing, and it sounded amazing.
That caves can make a ukulele sound badass. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. But it was real cool. And then we got... You know, our pictures there. And then the next day we went up to Pike's Peak, which is 14,115 feet above sea level.
How was that?
Holy shit. I'm out of breath just thinking about it. Yeah. Like, we drove up there, so it's not super bad. You go up to the top, it's pretty much flat on top, and you've got a little gift shop and building up there, a cafe, donuts up there that looked like shit, so we didn't get any. But, yeah, I mean, you go up there just walking around, you're kind of slightly out of breath. And you get, like, I got tingly driving up there at about 9,000. It started, like, my fingers and toes would be a little tingly.
Interesting.
I never really got lightheaded so much, but I could definitely tell I was going up.
Yeah.
And then, like, halfway, so we walked around there for a while, got a bunch of pictures off the edge of that. It's amazing. I mean, Colorado is just beautiful.
It really is, yeah.
Like, there's all kinds of different landscape too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you have
plains, mountains,
stuff that looks like it belongs in New Mexico. Like this red rock, which has like surprising amount of trees all over it. And then you get like up higher and you start to get the granite, the slate, whatever the more gray tones are. And you can see like the trees taper off as you get higher and higher, which is really cool. But then on our way down, we decided to get out at one of the stops and hike up a mountain, not a huge mountain.
So, like, how long was the trail, and how high did it start?
Well, it wasn't. There was no trail. It was really just like a hill on top of this mountain.
Okay,
like the
and you
point
did this at 14,000 feet.
No, we did it more at like 11,000.
Okay,
but still, I could go like 50 feet, and I would be out of breath because it was steep. It was like a 30-degree incline.
Yeah,
in some parts, and I couldn't walk more than 50 feet without being uncomfortably out of breath. And then I'd have to stop and rest for like 2 minutes and climb a little bit more and stop and rest. And man, people who train and like do sports at those altitudes, because the other thing we did is we went to the Olympic Training Center there in Colorado Springs. I can't even imagine training up there.
Right. Or it'll be like the Denver Broncos or the Denver Nuggets, where
just playing,
that's got to be such a massive competitive advantage that not only when you come to their home court, like the other team is not experienced playing at 5,000-6,000
They're
going
to be out of breath.
But when you go down to the lowlands, you're like supercharged with
you're
oxygen.
You're like Lance Armstrong, right?
Yeah. Like, fuck your oxygen. I don't need oxygen.
Yeah.
That's pretty
sweet.
It's
like doping.
That's, you know, I heard on a podcast, someone asked about, you know, like why Kenyans are naturally good, like why they dominate in the marathon. I didn't know this, but I guess wherever the country of Kenya is in Africa, I know it's in Africa.
It's pretty high up.
But I know the geography. Yeah, it's on like a natural plateau that's about 5,000-6,000 feet on average.
Okay.
So those people have been living in those conditions for tens of thousands of years. They're just, their bodies are fine tuned to be oxygen
using badasses. So they just whip ass in marathons.
Right.
So pretty cool.
Yeah, it was Pikes Peak is real cool. If you get a chance to go up it, I suggest doing it. And we also went to the bizarrely named Helen Hunt Falls. Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt's got to be named after falls. There's no way anyone
from
named...
From Mad About You.
There's no way she got a major natural landmark named after her.
I can't imagine. It was real funny, though. But that was also... we did a serious hike there, probably like a couple miles.
Yeah.
And in very steep terrain. It's on the side of a mountain. Mm. That was tough. We had to rest a lot.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it was real cool. We did
about
a
decade since I've went to. It's been about 10 years since I've been to Colorado. I've only gone exclusively in the winter to ski. I used to go out there every year,
right?
And I've intended to go back, but like I just I haven't had the money.
Constant snow there.
Yeah. Like if you stay in Breckenridge or something, it's snow all the time.
Feet and feet of snow.
And they don't even plow it. They just kind of like pack it down into the roads and right. You just drive on snow covered roads all the time.
Okay.
But
I could see that it rained surprising amount while we were there.
That didn't surprise me because it snows. I mean, the moisture goes somewhere, right?
Yeah, that was the other thing up on Pikes Peak. There's solid ice up there.
Mm.
Like some of the sides of the mountains are covered in sheets of ice.
Really? Or is it like dirty, shitty ice?
Yeah,
or
it's stuff that's like never melted. Stuff that just stays there year round.
Permanent. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy when you go up that high. Because the other thing is, it was like almost 90 degrees. Where we were at right. 6,000 something
feet. Then you go
feet.
Up and it's...
You go up, it was 50 something degrees by the time we got to the top of that thing.
Yeah.
30 degree drop.
And it's not gradual. Like my experience is like if you have your hand outside the window, you can actually feel like...
Yeah.
You just go through that thermocline and like, nope, I just went from 90 to 50 and...
Right.
Same like if you swim in a great lake, you're like swimming into like, on top of the water and then you dive down and like eventually you hit like... fucking ice cold water and it's right. It's not gradual, it's just bam, it hits you.
It was pretty much like that. Yeah. It dropped like 15 degrees in a single shot. But that was cool. We went to a restaurant that we really liked called Thunder and Buttons, which is named after two elk, I guess. Okay. That were like
the first
the pets of the well, I'm getting to that.
That element is not absent of the legend.
It is not. They actually serve up a bowl of elk chili that my girlfriend got. And I was like, have you considered the implications of what you've just done? Hmm. She had not.
Well, that you're eating the mascot?
Right, right. I mean, the implication there, I it's on the owners. Because the owners had these pets, Thunder and Buttons, and they died. Right. And then now they're serving up elk chili? That's on them.
It's the reason why I still shy away from eating frog legs. I've had frogs as pets since I've been like a little boy.
Yeah.
So it's uncomfortable. Yeah, yeah, just grind up that. But that's the thing, like, that's farm mentality. You got your prize pig that you name and you lavish all this praise and affection on, and then you slit its throat and eat for bacon.
Yep. And that was pretty much the extent of it. Our flight out there was delayed like 2 hours, which real sucked. Yeah. But that's about all we did.
Okay.
So a lot of hiking, a lot of hanging out.
I played this while you were gone. I had Cecily had some friends over, and this guy is, his name's Adam, and he is a professional board game graphic designer. And he's like done the covers of like dozens of games, and he's like a board game enthusiast. And he brought over like all these obscure games I'd never played that were super fun. The most fun was this game called Legacy, which you are dealt a male or female card, and then you're dealt like these like socialite cards. And from that, you have to pick a marriage mate and then have children. And the game is played in four generations. And you lay out like your matriarch or patriarch, and then below that's the generation, and below that's the generation, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger with this family.
Mm-hmm.
Is
the idea to have the most kids or something?
Well, I mean, that's I guess one strategy, but there's
what
like
are the other
well, so
win conditions.
You can undertake ventures like starting a business or a shipping.
I guess
enterprise.
what is the win condition overall?
Victory points. But you can earn victory points. Like every generation, you count how many children you have. That's one victory point. But you can also use your influence to purchase titles like Baron and marquees and all that kind of stuff, dukes. You can take on missions, which are usually kind of complete. This is set in, like, the 1770s, so you can do, like, you know, missions for the American Revolution or the French Revolution. You can get bonuses for having, like, Englishmen or Frenchmen in your family tree.
Is this a very... Is this a heterocentric game?
So there...
Because it seems like it would have to be.
There are rules, like, if... So if you want to play a game where everyone where you want to get gay married,
uh-huh.
you can, but everyone has to get gay married.
Okay,
because there's balance. Like, because
there would be no
if you could just pick and choose.
Right?
No, because in this game, I guess you would adopt instead of have biological
okay.
children.
Okay,
but the game is balanced because like certain like male female female relationships would be OP, and if you were able to pick and choose which ones, it's not huh. balanced that way. So you either have to play, you know, all hetero or all homo.
Gotcha.
And then there's also, like, it's actually pretty cool because in the rule books there's alternate rules because you have a chance of miscarriage every generation. And, like, okay. that's, like, so there's ways that you can play without the miscarriage feature.
Mm-hmm.
And there's ways you can, like, go to a fertility dot. And but it's kind of cool because some things, like, cost social status. Like, you lose friends over doing certain things. Like, if you start a business venture, one of the costs is one of your friends.
Okay.
Or, like, if you seek fertility or, like, psychiatric treatment, that drives friends away, too.
It's not just... ideas for the society.
Yeah, right? No, I mean, seriously, I had some similar ideas.
Might
but
have to dust
the
it
upshot
off at some
is,
point.
This game is so much fun because it tells a story.
Yeah.
Like, I had this elaborate story, and by the end of the game, I was making choices where the victory conditions were a secondary objective to telling the story.
Okay.
Because I had like a son that was my favorite and a son that was a real shit.
Yeah.
And I married him off to an ugly woman and I married this guy off to the most beautiful woman. And they hap. And then, because what happened is the first generation, one of the kids randomly dealt with was a boy that was not just a boy. He was a handsome boy.
Oh.
So he got like a +2 to the dowry of the next, with the next generation. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, this is Philip. This is George and this is Philip Jr. Philip Jr. was like the real shit. And I called him PJ and like I just dealt him like all the bad things that I could. But then
good.
At the end, the last generation, the chosen one betrayed us and he married a courtesan. He married a real whore and the black
there
sheep branch
legacy.
Of the family. Right. Black sheep branch of the family married like some impressive English scientist woman.
Oh,
and like you all know, right. really gave us all a middle finger.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's like it was, and everyone's doing that same thing. They're like narrating like all the family dynamics that are going on. It
yeah,
was
cool.
super fun. So I thought it might be fun. I don't know if this is a cool idea, but I actually took screenshots with my cell phone. I took photos of my entire family tree, and like it might be fun to like spend a half hour to like walk through. The actual story of that game. I don't know. It's
okay.
such an obscure game. I don't know if it'd be funny, but I thought it was hilarious.
Maybe.
So that might be something I spin up. That's kind of what I did when you were gone. Also, okay. house shopping. We might be making an offering on a house this weekend.
Yeah. Doing a little house shopping myself to rent, though.
I wanted to ask the hive mind a question, which is... So we finally found the perfect house. It's in our price range. It's a bit of a fixer-upper. It's got the bedrooms we need and the bathrooms we need and all that stuff. But it's in a less than desirable area.
Mm.
Like, and that's, it's hard for me to tell because all of Cincinnati is like elevated crime, but this neighborhood, it's like in Cincinnati is really weird too. Like you'll have a stretch of three streets that are nice and then a stretch of three streets that are kind of shitty.
Yeah.
And I'm asking people for advice as far as like on Facebook and then just on Reddit, random strangers, people I know and random strangers. And I've observed that. Whether you feel like it's safe or not, I feel like if I'm reading between the lines, some of this is, you know, if you see black and Latino people and you immediately think sketchy,
right,
then you're going to be clutching your pearls and locking your doors and all that. But there's a lot of people that don't have that kind of bias and they're like, no, it's fine. It's fine. And judging from the daytime, like I saw, there's lots of people. It's very diverse, but there's a lot of people that obviously have pride in their home ownership, and there's a lot of people that are playing out their family and their kids, and like I just didn't think it was unsafe. But we're gonna go like at 11 o'clock at night tonight. We're gonna sit out in the driveway for like 3 hours. with our windows rolled down and just kind of see what the neighborhood vibe is.
Yeah,
because like the thing, smart. I lived in a shitty neighborhood in Indianapolis once, where like my house, my car got broken into twice, my motorcycle was stolen. Then like 10 years later, I moved into my dad, who lived in the worst neighborhood in Indianapolis at the time. And same thing, like it sucks, man. It sucks to like not know if you're going to go out this morning and your trunk's going to be jimmied open.
Yeah.
Or your window's going to be smashed. It's depressing. I don't want to get into that kind of environment where my garage is continually broken into and people are stealing my tools and shit. But I also don't want to shy off just because the neighborhood's a little rough around the corners either.
Sure.
So I don't know. It's the Carthage neighborhood. If you've got any
Carthage
experience with the Cincinnati, if people listening have any experience with inner city Cincinnati.
Okay. I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, but it's tough because you look at the crime statistics and like all of Cincinnati is essentially elevated crime with some like super bad and some like, but there's nothing that's like less than yellow.
You know?
No, not in that, not in any,
even like a Hyde Park or Amberley sort
like
of.
Like Wyoming deal. Is one of the richest neighborhoods, and it was still like a yellow, like you know, because it's in the city, you know. And that's the other thing is like it looked like Carthage, like there in the last year there were no rapes, murders, or assaults reported. It was almost all property crime, which implies like petty vandalism. But I also didn't see a lot of like graffiti or broken windows. The house that I'm making an offer on has been vacant for 10 months. No one's fucked with the garage. No one's fucked trying to broke into the basement or anything. So, like, how bad can it really be?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's fine.
Should we get...
Maybe it's fine.
Do you have any other topics, or should we get to the cues?
Let's get to some cues.
All right. Let's see. Mr. Sab's up first. Have you ever considered live streaming some games, perhaps No Man's Sky?
Never considered it.
I know for a fact you've considered it.
I have considered it, and I've actually done it. I did a City Skylines stream a while back. A long while back. It's been a while. I'm thinking about doing some No Man's Sky. I don't know.
I've got plans for some video game streaming that's coming up in like September, October, but I'm not ready to announce it because I'm not sure it's going to come to pass. But...
The other thing I think would be really fun to stream, but maybe hard to stream, is Sea of Thieves. Like, I'm real excited about that game. I was talking with my girlfriend, asked her if she wanted to be on the crew. She said sure.
I bet we could talk Cecily into it, too.
Yeah. Get a four-person crew going.
Yeah. It seems like you'd have to stream everyone's perspectives.
Right.
And then allow people to switch, or do you edit that together? I don't know.
Well, with streaming, you have to do it on the fly, which means we'd all have to either be streaming to a location with Google Hangouts and then streaming out from there.
You need a fifth person called the cameraman to switch things back and forth.
It'd be a real nightmare.
Yeah.
But No Man's Sky, I'm thinking about doing some streaming. I don't know. Streaming solo has always felt real stupid to me because it's just boring.
I mean, I'm not excited about No Man's Sky because I'm skeptical, but I would do a couple of first streams with you.
Yeah, those things are just impossible to keep going.
Yeah.
Like, to continue with, because...
I think you have to be a lot more outgoing as a person.
Yeah.
Because the ones I've seen, you know, there's a lot of popular solo streamers, but they're just yammering all the fucking time.
Right.
And, like, thriving off the interaction with the fan base and all that stuff.
Yeah, chat does help, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, when I did the City Skyline stuff, I had chat going. Mm. But I don't know. If you're looking for a taste of what that might look like, go do a search for Aaron's Hole on baldmove.com.
I'm not responsible for what you find, especially if you go to image search or video search. We also actually have a whole line of video game content that we're going to be dropping starting next week, I think.
Is it? Okay. Whenever we decide to start dropping it. We teased it months and months and months ago.
When we originally recorded it, yeah.
Kerbal Space Program stuff, but yeah.
We have a whole season of that ready to go. We'll see what people think about it. I mean, the other thing is we need to finish off
Life is Strange.
Life is Strange. Yeah. I actually am legit excited to finish that off. And then I think we got another Michonne coming
fucking
up.
Fucking Mr. Jefferson. I want to see what's up with him.
Yeah.
He's a
shitbag.
Real shitbag.
I think the new Michonne's are, we're kind of waiting for we're waiting for The Walking Dead to return so we can do another episode of the Michonne story.
And they're going to do a season 3 of The Walking Dead game.
Yep.
Saw that too. So Clementine, bad guy.
Bad guy Clem is back on.
Do you want to take turns? You want to do a tweet?
Sure. Hashtag bald lunch. Aaron Munchausen says, I'd like to hear a talk about your personal tech, PCs, Macs, iPads, iPhones, Samsung, Android, hard drives, etc. Why one over another?
Oh, man. It's pretty boring. I'm not very high tech at this point.
Yeah. I mean, I'm in an ecosystem, and that's why I choose the Apple products, because I've bought so much shit already that it's, you know, got inertia going into that. And it kind of started, like, I was testing out when Android came out. At the very beginning, I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to go check that out. And I didn't like it.
That first gen tech was so bad.
It was a real shit show. And so I went and I said, okay, I'm going to try the iPhone, because I had never had an iPhone at that time either. And I tried the iPhone, and it was more mature of a platform, and so it was way better.
More limited of a platform.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even at the time, it was.
Yeah, that, sure, it was single process.
But whatever.
No threading.
You can jailbreak your phone even at the time.
It's a design choice, yeah.
You could put different operating systems on it. It doesn't matter. But I don't know. I got entrenched in the iPhone thing because it was better from a phone perspective. And then, you know, once I went to like a smaller development house, everybody was using Mac. Mm-hmm. And so they gave me a stipend to buy a Mac or to buy a computer. And I went with a Mac laptop saying, we'll try this. Mm-hmm. And I really liked it. And I've stuck with that. And now I think I'm in there for the long haul.
Fair enough.
At this point, there'd be too much friction trying to change.
I'm diametrically opposite. I am an Android guy. I've got an HTC One M8 that is about 3 years old now, and I just don't see the need to upgrade it because it still does everything I need it to do. And I'm saving like $45 a month by not buying a new phone, so probably going to use this until it no longer either gets so slow that I can't use it anymore or it doesn't hold a usable charge. And I use my second generation Microsoft Surface as my primary PC. And it does everything that I want it to do. It is getting a bit long in the tooth. We were just talking the other day how we need to come up with a stipend to, you know, figure out how to, because we bought these systems when we went full time with Bald Move. So they're 2-3 years old.
Oh, mine's older than that. I'm 2012.
Oh, really?
My thing's 4 years old, but it was a badass laptop at the time.
I think that's the way to do it. You always want to get
the second best laptop you could buy from Apple.
That's the thing. You never want to get bleeding edge, but like a step below that. And then that way it's going to have some longevity.
Yeah. I paid an arm and a leg for it, but I had $1,000 that just came right off the top. So who cares?
I'm not even sure what to do, because I was thinking about maybe just replacing this with a tablet, just a dedicated, not even like a Surface, but a tablet. And then because whenever I'm doing serious editing stuff, I'm using the Bald Move workstation. So the fact that, you know, I wanted this so I could edit media and do art stuff, which I haven't, you know, I haven't nearly exploited the artist powers of this thing that I thought I would.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't, I might just get a decent Android tablet and a Bluetooth keyboard and call it good.
You can try it. It might work.
Yeah. I mean, it's essentially going to be a lighter, more battery efficient version of what I got.
Yeah.
I won't be able to play video games or anything anymore. That's the one. But I don't play a lot of PC games now. My son will be disappointed because how he's going to play Five Nights and all of his other Undertale. Jesus Christ. The thing the kids are obsessed with now that I can tell is Undertale.
Oh, yeah. That's been out for a while.
Yeah, but like it's like really penetrated all the streamers, and my son listens to the chipped. That's the so funny. I got a 9-year-old listening to chiptunes and playing a game with sprite-based graphics.
Right.
Like this retro shit. Like I never thought the kids, like I thought that once he got on the PlayStation 4, you'd never get him back into the old school stuff.
Yeah.
But he was like listening. Because we can walk to this theater nearby, and I took him to see Secret Life of Pets, and we were walking back, and we were Pokemon hunting. Mm-hmm. But he also had the soundtrack of this game fired up in the background and listening to it as we're bopping around hunting for Pokemon. And he's like, yeah, I really like this style of music where it's like kind of like a real instrument, but it's not. It's like beat kind of beepy and boopy. And I'm like, yeah, It's called chiptune. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, do you understand that every video game ever made when I was a kid sounded like this, right? This is a throwback. He's like, he doesn't understand that the concept of throwback. It's just a different choice. They're working in a different medium.
Huh. It's funny.
Yeah. How do we get on this topic? Did we adequately answer a person's question?
I think so.
Yeah. As far as other, like, we both have NAS. Like, I've got a disk station, like a 4 terabyte disk station to house my media and, like, my personal backups, and it's automatically hooked to Amazon. Is it Amazon? Yeah, Glacier.
Glacier, yeah.
That's kind of the coolest part of my tech, but...
Yeah. The coolest part of my tech is every time I want to upgrade my phone, I just sell it for more than the cost of the upgrade. That's the thing about Apple products. Man, they retain their value.
But why
this thing is still worth $1,300 4 years later.
Yeah.
As long as the battery is okay, which mine is not.
Yep. Can't say the same about Windows products or Android for that matter.
No. So, yeah, I'm on an iPhone 6. I haven't gone to the SE, which I want to because I don't like the form factor of the 6. It's too big for my puny hands.
Shouldn't you just wait till the 7 at this point?
No, I don't think the 7 is going to be any smaller. I think 7 is going to be the same size as the 6. They've got the SE now, which is
small edition.
What I call the small edition. I don't know if that's it, but they realized, oh, we fucked up when we went to 6 and made it too big for some people, and hey, now if you want it, we've got an SE.
Yeah, this HTC One is the as big as I can possibly and I've got big hands, so like if I can't one hand with my thumb to the top corners of the screen, it's useless to me.
There is a feature on this. So as a tacit endorsement of the failure that is the form factor of the iPhone 6, they included a feature where if you double tap the home button, it will slide the screen down, enabling you to reach only halfway up your screen
to get to the top
buttons, and then you can tap it again and it'll go back up.
Huh.
They implemented a software solution for a bad hardware form factor.
Because honestly, if I could just swipe from the side to get my taskbar, my tray down, that would solve almost all my problems.
Yeah.
Because the only time I'm getting way up there is when I'm trying to manipulate my taskbar.
Like going back or doing weird
things. Well, that stuff's on the bottom. But
right. I don't fucking understand why software developers don't adapt to the two large phones that they're making now.
They still
put all the important shit at the bottom.
Sure. Pokemon Go's got everything at the bottom. I totally agree.
Like, instead of putting a bar at the top at all, I would put multiple bars at the bottom.
Mm.
Like, stack bars at the bottom of the screen.
Right on.
Because, I don't know. UI. Come on, people.
What else? So let's go on to the next one. Matthew L. says, when can we expect the final chapter of Life is Strange? What game are you going to play after that?
Just talked about it. I don't know what we're playing after that.
I would imagine it'll be out before Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I can't imagine us getting through out of the summer without getting that done.
Yeah, I'd like to.
Dr. K is of the opinion that we need to get some GoPros in place in time for the Bald Move Chipotle blowout.
Chipotle blowout? You mean the catered event?
Yeah, if we ever have a live event, we'll definitely have some kind of cameras rigged up.
Like yeah, maybe not a live stream, but
or we could
record
it. Periscope it or something. Right. Scope it.
Yeah.
Scooping.
I could just straight up turn into Dan Reichert. How about that? Fucking periscoping his Taco Bell.
Do you want to do another bald lunch question?
Sure. Nikki Carr says, hashtag bald lunch, has there been any update to On the Rocks?
I think next week is when we're coming back, right?
I'd like to do it next week, yeah. We've got a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that we have been working on, like business shit and server shit and
house shopping.
Another consequence of
the house shopping is that we are going to get a standalone Bald Move studio for the first time.
Yeah.
My realtor is also looking at like commercial space where we can get in for around $400 a month.
I'm super excited about it. It's going to be, you know, yet another financial burden on
yet
a company that
expense,
can hardly sustain itself. But I'm super excited about the possibilities because here we are very limited in what we can do given the size of our space. Like, we have this table in here. That's all we can fit in the studio. So if we wanted to do any kind of, like, green screen antics or, you know, set up a couch where we can have a different format for discussion, can't do it. In a new studio, I'm looking for about double the space and hopefully have two standard sets that we use.
Yeah.
like a working set like this, and then like a couch set we talked about.
Where, and I feel like
we're just lounging.
We also need a station we can sit at and actually do work. Like if I need to edit video, this is junk for editing video.
Why?
Like you can sit here for 10 minutes and edit a podcast, but sit here for 4 hours like this, trying to figure out.
Oh, and actually use this work. Okay,
I'm talking about having a workstation.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I'd actually like to get these things in some kind of like articulated arm. So you could have you could turn this into the workstation by just grabbing slide it in front of your face.
That would work. But I'm also interested in kind of divorcing what you guys can't see is there is a fucking mountain of equipment right underneath me, computers and audio gear and all that shit. I would like to get it away from where we sit, so I'm not constantly worried about these fucking cables coming off the back of this computer,
right?
Which are I'm constantly wrapping my feet up in.
Sure.
Yeah. It'd be nice to not have to worry about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of second generation studio stuff that we've been putting off because we knew this was coming pretty soon.
Yeah.
So, and there'll probably be a couple weeks to a month of Bald Move in Exile where we are like transitioning to the new space, and we'll probably be recording like from our I don't know what.
I'm not looking forward to it.
No, it'll be kind of an old school back when we were you know.
It's a real step back.
Yeah, but it'll be temporary. We'll be roughing it.
Yeah.
It'll be exciting.
I think that's a word for it, sure.
You want to do another one?
I don't have any more.
Okay.
What was the
burrito pun? You can't leave me hanging on that.
Oh, Nikki also said, is that a burrito in your pocket or are you happy to see me? Referencing my burrito in the pocket.
Yeah, yeah.
Good stuff.
You can mix your two favorite things, inappropriate sexual advances and burritos. How happy you would be. And in the same vein, can't wait to have y'all for our bald burrito and unwanted sexual advancement for Jim Fest.
Sure.
Please
don't do that. I imagine my girlfriend's going to be at that event. Male, female, no sexual advances.
Oh, she's not spared from unwanted sexual advances.
No? What about you? You get off scot-free?
Oh, no. I welcome it.
Oh, okay.
It's the best part of the job.
Well, there you go. Now you know where to direct it.
Mr. Sob said, hey, fellas, can you give us an update on the Bald Move finances? Also, have you seen Stranger Things yet?
You people and your Stranger Things.
I'm actually watching at least 3 episodes of Stranger Things this weekend.
I want to watch it. I don't have time to watch it.
We actually thought it would be fun while we're sitting in the dark car in this dark alley in a sketchy neighborhood, to watch Stranger Things on like my Surface, for example. That would be, you know, kind of like the time I read a Stephen King novel in a cave.
Right.
It's like a, you know, get the adrenaline flowing. As far as Bald Move finances, yes, I'm actually trying to get the last little bit of some of our quarterly and year end tax stuff done. As soon as I get that done, the final numbers back, then I'll be ready to do the kind of financial video. I mean, we've been actually doing really well. Like, Game of Thrones was huge for us because we had a massive increase in audience and a not directly corresponding but commiserate bump in memberships. So that was really good. And also this merch has been a big success for us.
Right. It's like a one-off thing.
It's a one-off thing, but I think that we're going to make it a semi, like, my goal is for every popular show that we do, we should get some kind of exclusive t-shirt out per season.
I was also thinking it'd be cool. I do agree. I think, yeah, we need a shirt that represents each podcast, probably, for the big ones.
Yeah.
And I thought another cool thing that Giant Bomb actually does is for us to do like a yearly club member collector's shirt that's only available for club members.
They can opt into it or not get it.
Not,
you don't have to buy the t-shirt.
You don't
it's
have
like,
to,
it's an add-on.
Yeah, right. Okay. It's not going to suddenly cost you $30 extra dollars for your membership.
Memberships
to get
this shirt. Are $100 a year now, and you get a free t-shirt.
No. But it's just a product in the store that you can only get if you're a member.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool.
Right. But on the other hand, we finally got to the breaking point of our server infrastructure.
There are so many other costs.
We threw so much money at that in an attempt to make it better for, and now
And we're not even sure it's going to handle it yet.
Right. Well, the cold hard fact is we're completely re-architecting the solution to be on a more scalable platform and also to get our membership systems driven. We're not changing Club Bald Move or changing the engine that runs it.
Right. It feels like all of the unexpected windfall from Game of Thrones is going right back out the door towards servers and membership stuff. And yeah, like,
and now we got the studio just overhead. So it's, you know, one of those things where it's two steps forwards, one step back. I will say that I am no longer afraid of, unless something would have to change. Like, we'd have to be...
like, oh, I don't know, Game of Thrones going off the air, Walking Dead going off the air.
I don't even think that does it, because I think there'll always be something in you know, like a Mr. Robot or a Stranger Things or something waiting in the wings.
We've
or
talked
maybe
about
Westworld.
This before,
but I mean, it's something, at this point, we'd, I feel like, have to fuck up. We'd either have to become massively less popular because we...
or we can begin a slow slide into irrelevancy.
Or, yeah, we could peak and then... but the thing is like, the growth is not stopping, and I'm not worried about it, and kind of until it does, or even starts to show signs of that.
Right, right.
And even, like, now, like, I don't even know that we couldn't make a go at it just doing, like, our movie coverage is built into a respectable... I mean, it's head
it's
there,
built
man.
Into what is a small show for us.
It's built in. I think it's this. It's a Mr. Robot Fargo level. Like, that's like, it's definitely not tier one. We now have like five tiers. We have because Game of Thrones is its own fucking tier at this point.
Yeah, yeah. It's
then you
bananas.
Have what we considered a previous mega hit level, which is the Breaking Bad, The Walking Dead level. Then you've got, you know, I think Mr. Robot, Fargo, The Leftovers. The Leftovers is actually threatening to go up into tier two, but those are kind of like your tier three. And then you've got tier four, which are still nice and fun to do, like Orange is the New Black, House of Cards, Daredevil, and then you got the shit tier, which get canceled.
Yeah, which we never cancel.
We do.
We've canceled one show in the history of...
what shit tier do we still do?
Orange is the New Black?
No,
is that a shit tier?
It's, no. Well, I mean, unless you want to redefine what its audience is in the shit tier. I'm talking like sub 5,000.
Orange is the New Black. American Horror Story?
Well, okay. That's not...
are you going to dismiss everyone that I list off as an example?
Well,
or...
I think that there's, like, you know, that's a Aaron and Cecily joint. So, right. And though we don't really advertise, I mean, that's just kind of something you have to be a Bald Move insider to even know we're doing.
I forget. There are others that did not go well for us this year that, I don't know.
X-Files, shit tier. We'd never do that again.
Right.
Justified, shit tier.
Which we brought back.
We brought back, but we kind of thought it'd be bigger, and it wasn't, so...
yeah, and it was the last season.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, so, long story short, yeah, things are going pretty well. You know, but so much of it is like, so much of the windfall stuff is balanced out by the extra expense involved in servicing that many people.
Sure, but saying that, I still think
I am feeling a little more confident. It's more stable.
Our pessimistic projections are now showing us to where we can afford to give ourselves raises next year.
Well, I'm honestly more concerned with, like, all of the money we're going to need to spend to implement our new membership system or upgrade our cameras or, like, I know you need more money to feel like you're actually stable.
Well, no,
personally.
To be in fact stable. It's not a feeling
right.
perception.
Well, okay, sure. There's now this tension between, like, I have to pocket some of the money, because if you're going to get a raise, I have to get a raise by law.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
by Bald Move,
that's going to be weird, like, seeing all this money go into my pocket that I would much rather spend on computer upgrades or cameras or, like, just a whole bunch of shit that we desperately need to do. I don't know if you guys have noticed how shitty our feeds are, but they have constantly been shitty. Our computer can't handle playing a game and recording and streaming and all that shit at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, we need better solutions for all that. But I don't know. I don't know. Things are going well. I'm ever the pessimist. And I never am like, yep, made it. Good.
I usually am
solid
too, but
gold.
I just feel like after we revisited the latest numbers and they're not final or not, but I'm just like, I'm no longer worried about, you know, I'm just not like worried. Like, even a Bald Move would fail at this point. I've just got my life jimmied in such a way that I don't need that much money anymore. So, like,
but can you imagine giving up the other things, not the non-financial things that Bald Move gives you? Like, I can't imagine trying to go back into an actual workforce at this point. Like, the bummer that would be.
Sure. You're not talking about TV all day.
Right. I don't get to set my own schedule.
The
I don't get
schedule.
To ultimately determine exactly what I do every single day.
Yeah, like, I mean, you just get that, but I still think that if you are flexible on your salary,
I never have to
that.
Ask anybody if I can go on vacation.
Yeah.
Fuck it, I'm going on vacation.
Sure. That's all good points.
And I have 52 weeks of paid vacation, essentially.
Yeah.
Because as long as I do a podcast from wherever I am,
right,
like I'm on salary. So
yeah, but on the other hand, that's also a bummer because you never really off the clock.
And, that's true.
And
yeah.
There are also like we are kind of slaves to the schedule.
Yeah, it really sucked having to do a Mr. Robot podcast while I was in Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's a little bit of update there. Let's go. Matthew L., throwback to when Telltale Game of Thrones crashed 6 times in one stream. Yeah, that was fucking miserable.
Yeah, our shit's broken a lot of the time.
But that was, it turns out, like, a software issue. Like, that wasn't anything wrong with the hardware. It's just shitty software. Of course, that's arguable that if we had better solutions, we wouldn't be using a $200
right.
streaming client.
We shouldn't be using unprofessional software and hardware
Google
anymore.
Hangouts and all that.
Yeah. It's a joke.
Yep.
But, you know, we don't have the money yet to get there. But that's the thing. Like, once we get our taxes, we're hoping to get a line of credit, which we can use to upgrade some of this stuff. We don't have a fucking mobile app, which is a constant pain point for me.
Yeah, that one dude on the forums kind of an asshole, but he was right.
He's absolutely right.
The fact that our usability is not super high.
No, it's terrible.
And the thing is, what he's wrong is like the fact that we aren't aware of it, but we have very real capital limitations on fixing that.
Right. He's just like, oh, fix it. I could fix it in an afternoon. Oh, right. Fuck yourself, man. Yeah. No, like, you're probably listening right now. Fuck yourself. Sure. You think you know, you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Like, until you're in the middle of it with your hands in it.
Yeah. It's a house of cards. And that's the thing. Like, we've built improvised solutions on top of improvised solutions, and it's all fucking incestuous
shit. It's reaching its
shit.
Limitations at
and,
this point.
Yeah, it just needs to be page one refactored at this point. And we're going to do it.
Yeah.
We're going to do it.
But it requires money.
Mr. Zab wants to know, why am I skeptical of No Man's Sky? Just, it's super ambitious. It's this weird single player multiplayer universe that I don't understand and I don't get. It seems like it's the worst of all the worlds.
Just forget the multiplayer. Think of it as a single player.
Well, then it shouldn't have fucking multiplayer.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Just play it as a single player game. You'll be happy.
Okay.
Or you might not. Like, I still don't know what exactly that game is.
And then every single time I see gameplay, it looks really dull. Like
it could be super repetitive.
Yes, like having 50 million planets that are all essentially look the same, only they're palette swapped or sprite swapped or model swapped is less interesting than only having 100 different types that some artist sat and actually lovingly, you know, created. Like, you know, I
think you're selling it short there. I think
it doesn't even look as exciting.
It's
going to
be way more dynamic
like,
than you think.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I'm just saying he asked me why I'm pessimistic, and that's why.
Right.
I just don't know.
But it does feel like it feels a little bit like a Minecraft type world without the interesting building hook of Minecraft.
Which is another concern I have.
But, you know, it does have other things that Minecraft doesn't have. It has
that's the thing, like,
combat and
Minecraft generated genuine awe from time to time. Like, I would go and explore and be like, holy fucking shit, look at that. I want to build a base there. Where everything I've seen from the playthroughs is much less grander, and I mean, I just a concern that I have. It just this giant empty universe that has no one to really conflict with other than NPCs that don't look that interesting. It's a concern. So we'll see. I might be wrong.
Okay.
Fern says, "Welcome back, Jim. What are both your thoughts on the RNC and DNC that just wrapped up? What places outside the U.S. would you guys love to visit for hiking and exploring if you had the time and funds?" I mean, I don't know what we can say about politics because there are people that are totally turned off when we talk about politics. I think y'all know what our politics are and what, I mean, this is not a hard race to see like who we're kind of on board with.
I got something for you that nobody can disagree with.
What?
I don't give a shit. I know who I'm voting for.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and vote.
Yeah.
There you go. Like, you know who you're going to vote for in this election.
Right. And I think that's the thing is, like, if I could just say, especially the younger people, fucking make sure you're registered right now. Right now. Let this thing be a reminder. Go out and make sure you're registered.
Yeah, I missed the fucking primaries because I wasn't registered in Ohio because I moved.
And you weren't in time. So, like,
right.
Definitely make sure you're registered to the current address so you're not going to get fucked over. And then vote.
Oh, fuck.
What?
I gotta change my address.
Yeah, true.
Ah,
you could swing the all important Eastgate vote though.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, but that's when you go to get your license updated, just do it then at the same time. It happens like seamlessly if you do it then.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Okay.
When I updated my license, I got registered. You
didn't.
No,
that was
the
problem.
I didn't.
Because you
thought
it was going to be a quote-unquote hassle when it's really just a yes or no question.
Right, and I thought that I did it, and then when the primaries came around, I was like, oh, shit, I'm not registered.
Right.
So I did it then. Now I'm registered, 100%. But I'm going to be moving before the election.
It's so interesting, though, because I am friends and family with such a broad swath of the human condition that it's really, like, it makes Facebook infuriating. Because, you know, it's just people talking about third parties and people talking about the candidate they're not wanting and people bemoaning the fact that they got two bad choices and people saying, well, if you don't pick this, then, and like, it's make, you know, like, it's a bummer. I got this Aunt Lisa, the one I did the cachet la vie, the shit the sink joke on.
Yeah.
She was a liberal arts major in IU Bloomington in the 60s. Super conservative racist. Like she was progressive liberal, and that's how she still sees herself, but she's a Trump supporter because he, quote-unquote, tells it like it is. And I don't understand. Like,
well, I just gave away my politics.
See, it's like, I get that you can, like, you know, like, if you have a backlash against politically incorrectness or you want to be politically incorrect, you know, I got a different views on that, but I just can't see the fact we're this deep in and his policy positions are non-existent. You're just voting for a middle finger to American politics at that point.
Which
some people do. Like, some people...
You also could have done that with Bernie.
True.
Like, both sides have that
right
going for him. Here's the thing I don't understand about this election.
Uh-huh.
Why the fuck Ted Cruz dropped out of the election, out of the primaries?
Because he got his ass handed to him.
Who cares? Who cares? It doesn't matter what the public thinks, right? I mean, the superdelegates or whatever could have come in and just made him the candidate.
And they
fuck Donald Trump, and they might have done it because nobody liked Donald Trump on their side.
Well, there's
on the Republican side.
Yeah, I mean, the establishment Republicans certainly didn't.
No.
But that's the thing. Like, I don't know.
I think Ted Cruz missed his opportunity to be in the running for president.
Not exactly exciting possibility for me, but yeah, just from a political curiosity.
Yeah.
I think it seems like he's setting himself up to be the obvious choice for next time. Like, his plan is for Trump either to get blown away by Hillary or to fall on his face, and then he can be like, I'm the one that stood against him. I came to his party and I spit in his face and I didn't kowtow. Like, there seems like there's a lot of the Republican establishment that's kind of staking out that position. And there's a lot of people testing the winds, and there's a lot of people just like, well,
right, it's all politics.
It's our party. Yeah, yeah.
Sure. I'm sure he had valid reasons for it. It just seems insane because I don't think the Republicans would have made Donald Trump the nominee if there were any other option.
Hard to say because, man, I think... Same way if, like, the Democrats decided to, for whatever reason, make Bernie the candidate,
right,
even though he lost the popular vote and the delegates and all that stuff, like, it would be a shit show. It'd be just look like you're just running roughshod over. And I get it. There's a lot of conspiracy and, like, a little truth to the fact that that's kind of what the political machine wants to do, is run roughshod over the desires of the common people, but
if they don't align,
they got to be a little bit more finesse about it, man.
Right. A lot of people would be angry about just overriding the people's choice with anybody,
right,
regardless of who they are. But, you know, at some point, do you put a lunatic up there? Whether you think Bernie's a lunatic or Trump is a lunatic, do you put a lunatic up there and hope you can win with that?
I don't know.
Or do you go with the safer bet, which I think Ted Cruz was?
For establishment Republicans, probably.
Yeah. Yeah,
it does feel like that the political parties, because the thing is like, there can never be more than two political parties in America. They can change, but they'll never be more than two. And it's like a mathematical fact because of the way our system is set up.
Right.
With first past the post. I'll actually post in the show notes a spectacular video that describes how you can start out with seven parties.
Doesn't
and the
matter.
American political system, within a few generations, you'll have two parties.
Yep.
And if a third party ever miraculously arises, one of the other parties will die out. They have to.
Yeah.
They have to. And if you don't believe me, watch the video. It's like 6 minutes, and it's a brilliant explanation.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like that this is a moment where, you know, stuff gets like back when the Democrats became the liberal party and Republicans, the party of Lincoln, became the racist right. conservative party. I feel like that there is a realignment of American politics coming down.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what it looks like.
Yeah, me too.
I mean,
because there's like two factions in each party that are warring for control of both.
Yeah.
You've got the center left Democrats that are, you know, like the Hillary establishment versus the more progressive leftist, and then you've got
and you really started to see center right
on the Republican moderate, you know, establishment yeah. Republicans fighting against, you know, the religious right, the Tea Party, the
yeah. Yeah, you started to see that splintering a few elections ago.
It is just, I don't know. Like I said, this shit. I'm trying to think of observations I can make that people might think about, but you know, I was listening to some of the coverage, and I saw that, like, because here's the type of guy I am. I taped Fox News and MSNBC, and I watched both of the after coverage because I do feel very strongly about seeing both convention? Sides because I feel like that keeps me politically honest of both.
Both conventions?
Okay. Of both. And yeah. like some of the Fox coverage, they're bemoaning the fact that the Democrats were like 3 days in the convention, they not mentioned ISIS once.
Okay.
And yet, how many times was global warming or climate change mentioned by the Republicans at all?
Right.
Like, no one in the DNC is denying that ISIS exists.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans, by and large, deny any kind of climate change is happening. But that's sure. I mean, I made a one-off joke on The Leftovers about climate change, and I got the most hate mail I've ever got. Like, right. To me, it's like when Hillary Clinton was last night, says she was listening to things she believes in. She listed science, and my jaw kind of hits the floor. It's like in 2016,
you have to list that.
That is something that, like, you believe in science. Like, number one, science doesn't give a fuck. You know, science doesn't question your doesn't ask you to believe in it.
What are you getting at? I'm not sure.
What I'm getting is like it's a bizarre. It's like I believe in science.
It's something that's like saying I
believe in gravity. You don't need to believe in gravity. You can fucking, you know, and let's not drop the piece of electronic equipment. You can objectively observe it and then make, you know, observations and figure out stuff about it. It's not saying, hey, if you stop believing in gravity, you're going to fling off into the earth. Just saying that right. I believe in science is
science is the pursuit and study of facts.
Like, but I'm saying it's bizarre on both sides. I can't believe someone has to say right. I believe in science, and I also can't the statement I believe in science doesn't care whether you believe it or not.
Well, sure.
So, like, you know, it's not like religion where you at one point have to have faith in it.
Okay.
I don't know. So this is again probably pissing a lot of people off.
Sure it is.
But you know what? I have to put up my aunt. I love my And the thing is, Aunt Lisa, she posted something about she's tired of being called a racist because she's not. And that's the thing is, like, I don't think Aunt Lisa, she's obvious. I don't think she's a racist. I couldn't love her if I thought she was a racist. It's just she lives in fucking Martinsville, which is even more of a monoculture than Mooresville, was up until the 1950s, like the headquarters for the KKK in Indiana. That's a legit fact.
Yeah.
She doesn't get the exposure to any stories that are not just like her. So she's got this narrative where these minorities are destroying the country, and, you know, not because they're inferior as that. I like doing that with my dad and some of my relatives is like when they start saying things about, like, well, you know, minority crimes higher in amongst minorities. I like just getting right to the point. It's like, why do you think that is? And if they, you know, I'm eventually drilling down to, like, do you think that a black person or Latino person is somehow different? Are they more prone to crime? Are they more prone to being violent? And they won't say that. So that's a backdoor to be like, so why do you think there's more crime? Like, you know, it's essentially saying, like, there's social, there's things in our society yeah. that make it that.
You're pushing them toward the conclusion that. We yes. need to help them.
Yes.
We need to lift them up.
This like, is this not, is communities not throw that, them need, out. That need help and assistance, not right. walls built around them and right. and starved of funds and resources. And, like, then why are they not behaving correctly?
Right.
Why are they mad? Why are they clogging up my streets? Why yeah. are they protesting you know, the
because
police.
Just saying that's not true, like minorities right. don't commit more crimes or whatnot is
yeah, it's
never
factually
going
incorrect.
It doesn't matter whether it's factually incorrect or mm-hmm. their statements are true or false.
Right.
Just spouting facts at somebody is never going to convince them.
Right.
You have to get them to reason about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like I said, I think any good-hearted person is like beyond the like obvious racism. I mean, they're still there. Exists like kind of resurgent in like the alt-right amongst like super hardcore racist. But I don't think a lot of the majority of people, they just don't put a lot of thought into it. And like I've said this again, like I've got leftist friends that have the same fucking problem. Mm-hmm. Like if you are a vaccine denier, that's way more stupid, I think, than denying climate change. You know?
I think they're
and yet that seems to be more of a leftist kind of thing because that's how it fits into their internal story about
right,
how they
right.
think the world works.
Yeah.
So no one's got a monopoly. I mean, that's why I read both sides of the coverage. This is why I go to Daily Kos and redstate.com is because if you get in an echo chamber, that's the day where you become a political ideologue and you no longer worship at the altar of facts. You worship at the altar of what conforms and feels comfortable to your worldview.
Right.
Because I think there'll be a day where, like, I don't consider myself Republican or Democrat. There might be a day where I side with the Republicans or the Green Party or whatever replaces Democrats. You know, it's like if you say that you're a Democrat or a Republican, I already think that's scary to me. You know, like a Republican in the 1920s means something completely different than 2016. And sure as hell, Democrat means different
right,
than
but,
it did.
But certainly in the moment, you can say that your ideas align more with a certain party and
yes.
therefore you identify with yeah. With them.
I'm going to vote with this bloc because pragmatically I think that they're going to get me closer to the world that I want to live in.
Right.
But
and nobody who says
they don't
I'm
own,
a Democrat
they
or
don't
I'm a Republican is talking about the 1820s. They're talking about the moment.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Republicans call themselves a party of Lincoln. That's an objective fact, but it's
fine. But like you're talking to your friends and they say, oh, yeah, I'm a Republican or oh, I'm a Democrat.
Right.
They're not talking about Lincoln's day.
But I think that by hearing that label, they're more susceptible to, you know, being cool with inter-party corruption, with, you know,
right.
Not,
you don't want to identify too much with a particular
right.
party. You want
right.
to you want to figure out what these people think,
right?
And say, do I agree?
I mean, I think at the end of the day, politics should be an exercise of correctly assessing the world as it is, and then working towards it to make it the world you want it to be. And building coalitions
okay.
and alliances with people that are going to get you incrementally closer to that goal. So, controversial statements, I'm sure. There you go. You sucked us into it, goddammit, Fern.
Yep. That's it. I gotta go get lunch.
Yep.
I'm fucking starved.
We will see you next week. We got cocktails on Tuesday, lunch on Friday.
Probably, yeah. Probably.
I can't imagine what could stop us from having cocktails.
End of the world as we know it.
No one can stop me from having a drink at 9 o'clock on Tuesday.
All right.
There you go. We'll see you guys then.
See ya.